to despair and discouragement and depression. Understand something with me. If you see a Christian depressed, obviously they are not winning the battle at that moment. Because the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In everything, give thanks. That's what the Bible says. It didn't say for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. Yet, guess what? We need to be real. How can you, when you're depressed and just overwhelmed then about everything? So, for us to navigate the year to come victoriously, we certainly are to give our struggles to the Lord. How do you do that? Because you've got to know that's a good thing. That's a great thing to do. That's an amazing thing to do. So first, we need to be reminded that He fought our battle with sin on the cross. He paid the price on the cross for our sins. He fought that battle for us. I don't have to fight that anymore. I don't have to establish, Brother Tony, my own righteousness. I can't get my right standing before God by being a good person. No, Jesus is our righteousness. He's already fought that battle, but then there's ongoing spiritual battles that we know that we will all face. The Bible tells us then to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And yes, we know there are temptations. There are those besetting sins coming at you, it seems, from every side. There's those old habits that you thought were broken, and now you find they're coming to trying to come back and choke the very life out of you. So how do we make that battle belong to God? That wayward daughter, that wayward son, listen, it's a battle. How do we give these struggles to the Lord? How do you make that battle God's? Well, the person that we're going to learn this from is where this famous verse comes from, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. And we'll read that in just a few minutes. The story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 involves a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And we've all heard of Saul, who was the people's choice, who was first the king, first king of Israel. And then we know there was David. That was God's choice. That was the model king and the one that Jesus' name is called after, Jesus, the son of David. And then there was David's son, Solomon, who was king. And Jehoshaphat ended up, he was the fourth king of the southern kingdom after the civil war that followed Solomon's reign. The northern tribes were called Israel, and the southern tribes, which involved Jerusalem, were called Judah. And so the first king of that southern kingdom after Solomon was his son Rehoboam, and three kings after him was Jehoshaphat. So he's the fourth king, and he's the sixth king removed from David. And yes, it was a mixed bag of mostly good with Jehoshaphat. Here then is what we could call, for lack of a better word, the backstory, leading us to our verse. Jehoshaphat already has been reigning for a number of years. He's been a good king. He's cleaned up all the idolatry. He sent judges throughout the land so that they can spiritually lead and they can judge among the people and settle disputes. Because he wants fairness and he wants justice. Understand, God hates injustice. Can you say amen? He hates injustice towards people, toward anyone and any race of people. He hates it. So the Bible tells us then that Jehoshaphat sent these judges out, and he had already done all kinds of reformation, cleaning up things that his father had let happen. And toward the end of his reign, here is Jehoshaphat, who has been walking with God, and he's walking in a way pleasing to God, but then out of nowhere, because that's the way life works, after this, after appointing all of these judges and telling them then to serve faithfully and don't take a bribe and treat people right and you judge between them and don't favor the rich, don't favor the poor, you favor justice. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some others, the Bible says, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. So here you are. You're doing the will of God. You're doing the best you can. You're being pleasing to God. And seemingly out of nowhere, a bunch of enemies gang up and attack you. Not just one ite, but a bunch of ites, including the Moabites and the Ammonites. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat that a vast army is coming against you. And so, alarmed, Jehoshaphat has resolved to inquire of the Lord. That's a good thing. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So now he's got a battle before him that's overwhelming. And we see he does a smart thing. He calls for prayer, where they're going to seek God. How many know to first pray is always the right thing to do? It's not to be a last resort in our lives. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from every town in Judah to seek him. They all headed to Jerusalem where the temple was. And then Jehoshaphat, he stood up and in the assembly of Judah and Israel, or in Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard, the Bible says, and he said this prayer. Now this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 6. Would you follow along with me? Here's what he said. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword and judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Verse 10. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moabite, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh God, oh our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Watch this. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I love it, Sister North, you referred to that earlier. Keeping our eyes upon the Lord. Can you envision this with me now? What a moment filled with emotion, filled with drama. The king standing up to pray. And the armies coming against them, and they're going to destroy them, or their intentions were to destroy them. All the men of Judah with their wives and their children and the little ones stood there before the Lord. Get this picture. He's praying among a vast multitude, a vast gathering of people. And moms and dads are standing shoulder to shoulder, holding their children, little ones standing close. Imagine what a moment. They're standing there before God, and he's now finished his prayer, which, understand, doesn't have to be a long prayer to be effective. Did you know that? Sometimes just saying the name of Jesus will work. And then in answer to his prayer, we read then where the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man by Jehaziel as he stood there in the assembly. And he says, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. This is verse 15. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Would you just look at your neighbor and tell them, oh yeah, I'll take two of those, please. One for now and one for later. Amen. So we see the word of the Lord comes, and then later the Lord shows them how to fight this battle. They really didn't fight. He just sent out singers to sing praises. And as they were singing, we see that God brought confusion to the armies. And they started fighting each other. And yes, they experienced a great victory that day. And Jehoshaphat and the people were delivered. But now what stands out and what I want us to see is these words from the Lord from verse 15. He wanted them to know the battle is no longer yours. It's my battle now, God said. Listen, wouldn't you like God to say that to you today? Amen. Yet we have to understand it's not automatically so just because you go to church on Sunday. I want us to realize that just as these struggles and these battles we face are real, there is a real then turning it over to God that we have to do ourselves. And that's what we learn then from Jehoshaphat. Now, leading up to this story, we find Jehoshaphat was one of the better kings. Yet he was a man. And yes, he had weaknesses. And guess what they were? He could not say no. He had a false sense of friendliness. And he almost died because of it. Yes, Jesus wants us to be friendly. Can you say amen? He wants us to be kind. He wants us to treat others the right way. And yes, we know that from the Bible, we know that Jesus was a friend of sinners. And he wants us to show them Jesus and try to share the gospel as often as we can. But in the context of his life, Jehoshaphat just would do weird things. For example, while he reigned over Judah in the southern kingdom, in the northern kingdom was wicked King Ahab and his lovely spouse named Jezebel. And they hated God, the true God. They were worshipers of Baal. They were idolaters. You name something evil, and they did it. And yes, they had a daughter, and she was a chip off the old block. She was as wicked as her parents. And Jehoshaphat gave his son to be married to this woman who was an idolater, who was against God, whose parents were wicked. Now, as bad as they all are, why, Jehoshaphat, would you want to form an alliance with these folks? You depend on God, yet now you have to get an alliance with Ahab? And again, it was as if he could not say no, and he ran with the wrong people. And another time, the Bible says he went to visit Ahab. Why he was visiting Ahab, we have no idea. But Ahab said to him, well, I'm going to fight a big army. Would you join with me in that battle? Now, why would Jehoshaphat do something like that? Again, this northern kingdom led by Ahab, they were idolaters. They hated God. And yes, they killed prophets. What's wrong with Jehoshaphat? He goes, well, let's do this. My men are like your men. And he went into battle where he almost got killed. He was like duped by people. Understand with me, we see the Bible tells these stories just the way it happened. We find there are shades in every personality. There's strong points, and how many know there's weak points in folks' personality? And as we see in this story of Jehoshaphat, especially in this 18th chapter, we find there's weaknesses in all of us, and this was his weakness. And we have to learn from it. He almost got killed in the battle. Listen, yes, we see in chapter 20 how his simplicity helped him in the matter of the prayer that he prayed. But back in the 18th chapter, we find Ahab doing this. He said, you know what? We're going into battle. Now you, Jehoshaphat, you just go ahead and you wear your king's outfit. For me, I'm going to dress up like a regular soldier. You stay dressed in your kingly outfit. Well, how many know it's not hard to figure this out? Can you just say with me, duh, with an attitude? Duh. Everyone knew that when the battle started, the armies most of the time went after the royal robe. They went after the one who was the king. And it was, look at me, I have a bullseye right here, so just shoot me. Shoot your arrow right here so I'll die quickly. What are you thinking, Jehoshaphat? And as it ends up, Ahab was killed, and Jehoshaphat would have been killed, but God delivered him. He should not have even been there in the first place. And yes, that's a good lesson for every one of us. We should not be with certain people all the time. Yes, we love everybody. We love saints and sinners. But you don't hang out with everybody. There are the co-workers and there are friends. And yes, there are extended family members who you know do not serve God or live right. Yes, you may have to go to work with them and see them even at family gatherings. But you don't have to agree with them in their conversations. You don't have to listen and laugh at their crude jokes. You don't have to listen to their complaining. You don't have to go to the places that they go to. And no, we should not be fighting certain battles. Why? Because sometimes they're not the Lord's battle. We don't find Jehoshaphat beforehand asking the Lord if he should even go with Ahab to fight in the first place. He did seek the Lord after he had already said yes to Ahab. And that's like kind of after the fact. Well, it's kind of late then. How do you join someone who's not walking in unity with you and who's not on the same page spiritually? Guess what? You don't. Oh, but Pastor, it's for a good cause. Yes, and they might agree with you. It's for a good cause. But look at all the other things that they stand for. That's anti-God, anti-Christ, and contrary to God's word. We find afterwards Ahab was killed in that battle of which Jehoshaphat was delivered. Now you would think Jehoshaphat would have learned his lesson. Even after his victory here that we're talking about in chapter 20, we find at the end of chapter 20, he goes into a business of shipbuilding with King Ahab's son, who was just as wicked, and the whole thing we find is dashed into pieces. God brings judgment on the whole thing. Again, there are some good lessons for us here. Yes, sometimes we're strong in emergencies, and that's a good thing. But on everyday decisions, maybe we're not always at our best. How many know that's why we need to seek God's wisdom and His grace on a daily basis? So that's the downside of Jehoshaphat. Let's talk about the good side, the upside. We find he's surrounded by these armies in chapter 20, and he's just been doing good things for God. And so he could have said, what's the sense of serving God? Look at these problems. Why is this happening to me? I thought God loved me. I didn't ask for this. I thought if you serve God, everything works out. So why are these three armies surrounding me and coming at me? And sadly, a lot of saints react this way when things go wrong. Yet we see he did not do that. He was mature, and so we have to understand that life has battles. It does. And you don't know when they're going to come your way. And we could talk to Job about that. You don't know when it can hit or what battle you end up fighting. But remember, God is with us. God is with us. He orders our steps. We don't have to panic. You know, God's not up in heaven and the angel with the angels going, what is it with this you're going through? I didn't see that coming. No. Your battle and your struggles haven't caught the Lord off guard. Well, what are we going to do, Gabriel? No, God's not like that. He knows all about our struggles. No, we don't see clearly all the time. So that's why it's so important that we have to trust Him in all of our ways. So these armies attack, and God calls for all of Judah to just praise Him. That's all you got to do. Just get out there and praise me. Instead of panicking, instead of raising money then for weapons, instead of doing 50 other things, Jehoshaphat says it's time to pray. In other words, time out, everybody. Come on. We have to be vertical before we can be successful horizontal. It has to be God and us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Seek the kingdom first, and then all these other things horizontally. God will work those things out. And so he prays, and we see if you want your battle to be God's battle, the first thing that we learn is you've got to pray. Oh, my, pray? Yes, pray. I have to pray. Yes, I'm the pastor. As a pastor, I have to pray. And you also have to pray. You've got to come to God and honor Him while saying, I will not figure this out in my own wisdom. I need God. In fact, could you just say that right now in your heart, whatever you're going through, whatever it is, can we say, I need God? Understand with me clearly this morning, that's how everything starts. It starts with a sense of need in our lives. The Bible says God resists the proud. What does that mean? Well, they're the ones who say, I don't need anything. Get out of my face. I don't want to hear about that stuff. And of course, the rest of the scripture says, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, what do the humble do? They go low. And they say, I need God. And yes, it sounds so simplistic, so oversimple. But let me just ask, how many times have we missed that? I'll admit I've missed it in my lifetime. Many times. So now he begins to pray. And if we are to analyze this prayer, when it's over, I believe we could say without a doubt, God, you rule. You're in charge. And we're part of your people because we're descendants of Abraham. And you have all the power. We have been grafted into the vine. Understand with me, that's a good way to pray. We're not Israelites in the land. We are Christians. But we can go before the Lord and say, Father, we belong to you. I'm one of your children. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm one of your children. I'm walking in the light. And if there's any sin in my life, forgive me. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse me. Lord, I belong to you. And you are God above all things. You're stronger. You're greater than all the battles and the mountains and the valleys and the Midianites and the Ammonites. You're greater than any disease or sickness. You're greater than my financial problems. You're greater than people who's against me, hating me, talking trash about me, whatever the situation might be. You're greater than Satan. You're stronger than the flesh. You're stronger than the world. God, you're God on the mountain, and you're God in the valley. How many could agree that's a good place to start in our prayers? Why? Because it gets you in the right posture, Sister Brenda. Instead of being fearful and backing up, you're like, all right, yes, this is a negative situation that can end very badly. But let's start with this. Who are you, God? He's my God. And he's a good God, Brother Tony. He's a great God. So Jehoshaphat prays. And this, then, is how you transfer your battle to make it the Lord's. This is what will carry you through to navigate victoriously in 2025, no matter what comes your way. Toward the end of his prayer, the last words he says, these three things, and this means everything. Even when we pray, we often never get to this in our hearts in reality. He said, number one, we have no power against the vast enemy. We can't do it on our own, in other words. God's listening, and Jehoshaphat is saying, we have no power, and we're not going to even make believe that we have power. We have zero power against this enemy. We cannot defeat them in our own resources, with our own intelligence, Brandon, with my education, with everything that I might have. We do not have the power to face this enemy. And you might say, well, Pastor, that's so negative. Well, no, it's not, because what you think is negative will bring the positive. And this is how God takes over. Watch this now. In the battle, as long as I'm fighting, yet if I'm thinking, well, I can do this. I just need a little help. I've got 80% of this, and if God will just help me out with that other 20, maybe it's 50-50. I'm in this thing. I can do it. Mama didn't raise no fool. I can do this. But guess what has happened now? I have just blocked God from taking over. Listen, either he's going to fight it or I'm going to fight it, and he's not sharing in his glory to anybody. Speaking in the sense of spiritual dependence. We have no power in our flesh to face the enemy. This morning, if there are those listening and you're facing something and it's making you a nervous wreck, and now you feel overwhelmed, listen, stop and tell God this. Lord Jesus, I cannot handle this. It might be a family issue. It might be financial. Lord, I just don't have enough money. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have what I need. I have no power on my own to solve this. Listen, your confession before Almighty God, who cares about you, will be the key to your liberty and your experience to experience your breakthrough to freedom. Because a lot of times we're looking at ourselves and we are taking inventory of what we have left that we can maybe bring to the table and figure all of it out on our own. But guess what? You can't do that and still be victorious. Jehoshaphat gets to the bottom and he does what we could call real talk with Almighty God. He says, God, we have no power. But now, wait a minute, Pastor. Over in the New Testament, it said, I can do all things. Paul said it. He wrote it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's right. But before Paul was around, Jesus said these words. Without me, you can do nothing. So for us to get to I can do all things, you got to get to the first, I have no power. Whatever is going to have to be done, Lord, you're going to have to do it this time. I can't figure it out. Jesus himself lived that way. We find the scripture, find in scripture him saying, and I'm paraphrasing, the words I give you, I don't make them up. I get them from the Father. The works of power that I do, I only do what he shows me. I can't do anything on my own. I'm really dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit working as the Father directs me. That's how Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, lived. Remember what Paul said. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And the greater the weakness, guess what? The greater the sense of we have no power. God, I can't not do this. But I'm not saying it in a depressed way. I'm saying it as a statement of fact. We have no power on our own. And guess what? Just know that God is listening to us in that very moment. Secondly, he says, we do not know what to do. After he says we have no power against this vast enemy, he says, we do not know what to do. Listen, in that moment, for many of us, our minds would frantically be searching. I just got to know what to do. I just got to figure this out. And guess what? We lay awake at night and we're pondering and we're getting anxiety attacks trying to figure this thing out. And we're snapping at our spouse and we're snapping at our children in frustration. Listen, the truth is we don't know what to do. Can you think back in the times of your life where you were at that point in your life? Lord, I don't know what to do. You see what's happened. When King David was being chased by Saul, you can find this story in 1 Samuel 22. He left his parents, the Bible says, with some people. And he said, take care of them until I see what God will do for me. Well, David, what's God going to do for you? Well, I don't know, so take care of my parents until I find out. This morning, listen, if you're listening to me or watching and you don't know what to do, you don't have to be embarrassed. You tell God, just tell him, I don't know what to do. I don't have the power to overcome these enemies. I don't have the power to overcome this mountain before me or this situation. So number one, we see Jehoshaphat prayed. And he didn't make it as the longest prayer in the Bible, and that's okay. He said, we don't have the power. We have no power to face this enemy. God, you have all power, but we don't have the power. And then he says, we don't know what to do. And yes, again, God is listening. Now watch this. Here's the last thing. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Whew. Hear me now. The creator of the universe cannot resist when he hears those words from his creation. He cannot resist his people who are called by his name, coming and honoring his greatness, loving him and praising him, recounting his faithfulness in the past, and then saying, we have no power to face this situation. We don't even know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What does that mean? It means our expectancy is from you. I'm no longer expecting it to come from anywhere else but you. We're watching you now, God. Show us what you're going to do. Tell us what we need to do. Show us how to get out of this mess because our eyes are on you. Our eyes are not on me. My eyes are not on my family, my money, my bank account, my education, my doctors, my medicine, my this or my that. We have no power and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And when God heard them speak those words and they just stood there, what else could God do, Brother Tony? He loves us. We're His people. And when God said, oh, it's going to be that way? You're admitting you're powerless? You don't know what to do? You admit your ignorance at that moment? And now you're going to throw it all on me? Well, then guess what? I'll just go ahead and anoint this guy Jehaziel and let him tell you what I want him to tell you. Tell the people. Verse 15 again. O King Jehoshaphat and all the people here in Jerusalem, don't you be afraid and don't you be discouraged, because now the battle is not yours. I'm taking over right now. I have to, because you just handed it to me. Can we get this? You and I have to go low. Would you tell somebody that? We have got to go low. And we've got to tell it like it is and look totally to Almighty God, our Creator. And then God says, well, you're totally looking at me. Well, I can't fail you now. It's going to look bad for my name, so I'm just going to take over business for you. Yes, the battle is mine now. Just send out some singers to praise me, and I'll take care of this. Listen, when we get to that place where we can admit that we don't know what to do and we don't have the power to do it, so now, God, I just fall into your arms. The next thing you know, you can start to say then, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And guess what? He does. He strengthens us when we get to the end of ourselves. This morning, maybe you're close to the end, but you haven't got there yet. And you're afraid of just spilling it all out to God because you're so used to keep it bottled up. You got to understand, God already knows. Well, Lord, Take the top off that bottle. Lord, I don't have power. I don't have wisdom. I can't solve this. Maybe your pride or my pride is holding us back. As if we'll figure this out. And we think, I already can. I can call my parents. They're going to help me out of this situation. I can call that great uncle or that rich relative and he'll get me out of this. Guess what? It never works out quite that way. And yes, it might be a temporary fix, but guess what? It doesn't last. So no, I'm not calling anybody. I'm calling on my God. As we end this morning, can I just tell you, God sees exactly what we're living through. And He knows our individual situations because He's our God. He's God. He knows how the enemy works against us. He knows how the enemy comes to intimidate us. But in the middle of all of that, we have to remember, we can say today, you are God, and you are God alone, and you have all power, and we belong to you. We're not strangers to you. We're your children, we're your sons, and we're your daughters. Let me ask, who else would be a child would go to but their father? So we can say, Lord, we're coming to you and we're telling you right now, we don't have the power to withstand the enemy. We don't have the ability to get through this problem. We do not have it. And so we're going to stop fussing and we're going to stop fighting and we're going to stop stressing ourselves out. And we come to a moment of just total stop. And we admit it. We don't have the power to face this vast army. We do not know what to do. We just don't have all the answers. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. But oh God, when we make ourselves zero, don't you become the 100% in our lives. Yet if the battle is not yours, because our eyes are on you. If you don't come through, then it won't happen because we just told you about us. We don't have the power and we don't know what to do. So this morning, to those who are in their own personal battle, the word of the Lord is, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The battle is now the Lord's. And He says, you gave it to me, I'll take it. Brandon, I'll take it. You gave it to me. Understand, He's waiting. He's been waiting for that moment. When you give it all to Him, and now He can take care of business His way for us. And we can say then, Lord, our eyes are going to stay on You as we are expecting great and mighty things. Why? Because You're great and You're a mighty God. And we can make that our prayer. So how do we give our battles and struggles to the Lord and know that He takes them? First, always pray. Let it not be a last resort. Paul said, pray without ceasing. And then let's confess that we are powerless without Him and that we don't know what to do. And then declare, but our eyes are upon You, O God. We're watching what You're going to do. And in the meantime, we will rejoice and we will give You praise. And that's when He will respond to us. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by this multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Let's all stand together. And that, I promise you, will take you through 2025 and beyond and help you navigate each day victoriously. Pray, listen, and obey. Praise God. Can you worship Him with a hand clap right now? Thank You, mighty God. Thank You, mighty God. All right. I was about to shout. Father, we praise You today. Oh, thank You, Lord, for Your word today. Thank You that You're always there. You're never too soon, never too late. You're always right on time. And so we thank You today. And in the days to come, Lord, we're going to determine anew that we're going to seek You and we're going to give it to You. And when we confess our need for You, God, You take over because You're listening. And so I thank You today. I just praise You. And Lord, we go forth in expectancy knowing that You've got it. But Lord, we know what our part is to play in all of this. We give it to You in Jesus' name. Amen. I love You.